Last week we looked at the story of Captain Naaman who had leprosy. And of course, if you remember the story, he ends up getting to Elisha, and Elisha says, go dip in the Jordan River seven times and you're going to be cleansed. And of course, he had a pride problem. So God was working on that issue, and he ran away in a rage and said, well, aren't the rivers at Pharpar, where he was from, much cleaner than the rivers down here? It'd be like me if somebody's told me to go dip in the Chattahoochee River seven times, I'd be healed. I'd say, now, wait a minute. I'm in the pool business. I got pools of water all around. It's much cleaner, more sanitary. So you see, God sometimes will ask you to do things, I think, to see if you're going to be willing to obey Him and what He says, whether it makes sense or not. I've had that experience happen in my life, and I think that was a little bit of what was going on. But either way, he finally dropped his pride, and he said, what have I got to lose? And he says he went and dipped in the Jordan River, and he was healed. Great story. If you weren't here, you might want to go back and listen to that message. Today we're going to look at the topic, God defies gravity with grace. God defies gravity with grace. It's a story about an axe head flying off. And if I'd had time this morning, I was going to go find an axe and have one up here. Just pretend I got an axe in my hand. Y'all know what an axe head is? That's the metal part, right? Okay. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's dive in. 2 Kings 6, verse 6. That's verses 1 and 2 in it, Deanna, I think. Anyway, now the sons of the prophets of Elijah. Who are the sons of the prophets of Elijah we talked about? We didn't talk about it enough, evidently. Now, they were the seminary students. Elijah had some guys that they called them sons of the prophet. They weren't his physical sons. They were like his people under him. Let's call them seminary students, okay? They came and said to Elijah, behold now, the place before you where you are living is too limited for us. Basically, they were running out of room. Please let us go to the Jordan, and each of us take from there a beam or a pole or a tree, and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live. And he said, go. So basically, they were evidently in tight quarters, and the students said, hey, let's go build something bigger over by the Jordan. Pick up in verse 3 and 4. Then one said, please be willing to go with your servants, or go with us. He answered, I shall go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. By the way, as I was going back over this again this morning, I saw something that, just like the Holy Spirit says, you need to point this out, that they cut down trees for what reason? To support, make them a shelter, correct? Christ, who is, you're going to see in this message, is referred to as the tree. He's the tree of life. But anyway, Christ was cut down so that you and I could be in Him, so that you and I could have the salvation. The ark, Noah's ark is a picture of salvation. What was it made from? It was made from trees. Picture of Christ. So we are in Christ. So just a word that might encourage you there. He was cut down so that we could be in safety. And in verse 5, but as one of them was felling a beam, I love these translations. Why don't they say cutting a tree down? Okay, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. So this guy was cutting down a tree, and you know, if you've ever been using an axe and you sling it back and the axe head goes that way, that's kind of probably what happened. His axe head flew in the water, and he said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? It was borrowed. Now, you might think that, what's the big deal? Why not go down to the Jordan hardware store, Jordan River hardware store, and purchase another one? Well, it was a big deal because iron was a huge commodity during that time. One source I read said that many of the tools were made from bronze. So either way, putting it on today's terms, he might have had a steel $600 chainsaw purchased right across the avenue here, and he was sitting on the edge of the bank. When he turned around, he knocked it in the water, and it was 10 foot deep, and he couldn't find it. Just trying to give you a scenario, because this was a big deal. This poor old guy was now in debt. Remember, it was borrowed. He can't pay it back. So he's upset. It was borrowed. He had lost something very important to him. He could have been right in the middle of building a new swimming pool store, and expenses went up, and the bank account went down. Could have been putting something where you might be at. Just as I thought I was getting ahead financially, the car breaks down, transmission goes out. Now the bank account goes down. Just when you thought that relationship was back, was getting back to normal and things were going good, all of a sudden the bottom drops out and it goes down. Now folks, this is a powerful message and it's going to start right now, okay? No matter what you've lost or what you've watched go down to the bottom, the same God, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. This is huge. If you tune me out the rest of the time, just listen for the next minute or two. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same God that lives in your heart and wants to raise you out of the situation that you're in right now. The same God. He's ready to defy odds and raise you from the bottom that's got you in bondage. Actually, from his perspective, it's already done. But you don't know it yet. You don't, maybe don't believe it yet. And so you're still down here struggling with it, as I am sometimes. Last week, Naaman finally had to choose to believe what God said and simply just follow his heart and do something that made no sense. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. What in the world? There's no healing powers in that river. Now, can't you imagine all the negatives? He finally did what God had told him to do and what God tells us to do in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. He humbled himself before the mighty hand of God that God would exalt him in due time. Sometimes God's waiting on us to just humble ourselves before Him. He isn't waiting on us to go confess our sins. He's not waiting on us to go do all His good work and gain God's favor. But He does want us to humble ourselves before Him. So let's move on to the story. Very powerful. Verse 6, then the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, take up for yourselves. So he put his hand and took it. These are some weird stories, aren't they? What in the world has a stick got to do with anything? He threw a stick in the same spot where the axe head had fallen, and the Bible says that the axe head floated. Elisha told the man, he said, man, you got a choice here. You can just reach in there now and pick it up. He didn't say you got a choice, but he did have a choice. Whether he's just going to reach in there and take that axe head that was just floating. A miracle, right? What's got you down today? You don't have to tell me out loud. Anybody got anything you're struggling with? You that don't, maybe this is to prepare you. It is coming. Every day there's something. Is it debt? Did you know that God's interested in getting you out of debt? I'm starting to take Him up on it. God is interested in getting you out of debt. Now listen. Even if it were your foolishness is that got you there. You say, now preacher, I don't know about that. I think God helps those who helps themselves. We got ourselves in it. We can't look to Him for that. Did you know that's a lie from Satan? You want me to prove it? Yeah. Okay, thank you. I see I get done quicker when y'all help me, okay? Even when it's your fault, God is interested in helping and taking you out of that situation. Does He do it like that? Like He did the axe head? That's the way I want my miracles to work. Boy, I see instant. I believe it. Bam! There it is. This is a good spot. I told Angel when I was coming, I said, I was coming to the church today, or actually we were headed to get some breakfast first, and as we usually do, and on the way to church, I had a flat tire. And I'm preaching about needing miracles and that kind of thing, and I told the angel, I said, God's got a sense of humor. I said, I know this is going to fit somewhere in the message, and I was wondering where I was going to do it, and I think this is a perfect spot. I was, I knew this story, you know, Elisha threw the stick. By the way, I'll go ahead and tell you, that stick represents the cross. Can't wait to tell you what God gave me about that. But anyway, so I know you need to apply the cross to your situation. So I was sitting there, and I got out. I wasn't kind of like some that old guy one time. His two guys riding with, one of them was a preacher, and one of them had a flat tire, and the old guy that was driving evidently tries to turn everything into spiritual stuff. And he said, I wonder what God's trying to say here. And the preacher said, I think he's trying to say you need to get out and change a tire. So I didn't sit there and ask that question. I just said, I got to get out and change a tire. I got to get here, get prepared. Well, these newer model trucks, and even though this is a 2007 or 8 model, it's still newer than them old ones we used to have where the spare tire was on the back of the pickup truck. You know, it's up under the back, so I said, I ain't got time to be trying to figure it out. So I got out the manual. I know, ladies, that shocked you. I got the manual out. And I started reading, and I said, that's pretty simple. So before I did, I started taking the lugs loose before I raised it. I didn't have the jack under the air. Didn't have the tire down, thank God, because I would have wasted time. And anyway, it has one of these lugs on there that spins. It's like to keep somebody from stealing your wheels. Well, I didn't have the tool for it. Evidently, the guy that bought that didn't have that. So I can't get the tire off. So I'm glad I didn't get nasty and dirty trying to get the tire down and the jack under there and all that kind of stuff. So I proceeded to begin to call. A friend of mine lives literally about a mile from there. Neither one of them answered their phone. So I called Gail, and we were about 10 minutes from the home. So we're waiting on her to come get me. And it just hit me about, and I said, now, that seminary guy evidently had faith in God through Elisha to do something about his axe head. And you know, Elisha throws a stick out there and it floats immediately. And in my spirit, I said, why can't I just pray for that tire to just blow itself up? You laugh, but would you have even thought to ask that? Okay, I did it. I walked out there. My faith was so weak. I heard this from Steve McVeigh. I didn't think it was going to happen to start with. I just go ahead and confess. But I remember Steve McVeigh saying one time, he said that, you know, he doesn't come from the charismatic background where a lot of these name it and claim it guys, to me, they can get over the top a little with some of that. But I've learned from them guys, by the way. And Steve McVeigh will tell you the same thing. But anyway, he said that he had somebody, this thing's going to get long if I keep telling a story. He said he was at a conference, he said he wanted him to pray for him to be healed. And he said, well, I'll just tell you, if I pray for you, my faith's not going to do you any good. He said, however, we have the faith of God. We have Jesus' faith. Does that mean we activate it all the time and use it? No. So I did. I prayed that prayer in my spirit while Angel's sitting over there wondering what I'm doing. She saw me with my head down. And I said, God, I don't have enough faith right now for that tire to blow up. Just supernatural, not even need a patch. And I said, but I trust in your faith. And I asked God to take care of that tire. I get out, I walk around, and it's still flat. This is coming in huge. Often times, God doesn't do things like the axe head immediately. Most of the time, it's more of a process. It's a day by day. You follow me? Could he have fixed that flat tire and put new tread on it at the same time? It needs some new tread, and it needs replacing probably. Sure he could. Why didn't he? My lack of faith? I don't know. Either way, we were on a side road, we were on a highway, an angel even said, well, you know, if we'd have kept going, who knows, we might have been in an accident. I thought, only from a child. The point is, God's grace is sufficient. His supply is unending, regardless of how he does it. You see, none of us are hurt, and so forth. So that brings me back to this story, talking about we don't believe God wants to help us when we do things that are not wise, and we get ourselves in debt in this case. Elisha did not ask the seminary guy, he said, whose fault is this? Did you think to check the axe, make sure it was tight on the handle beforehand? I mean, my goodness. Do you know God's not doing that to us either? Amen. He's only interested in your well-being. He's only interested in lifting you from that place that's got you in bondage to a place where you trust Him, where you are resting in Him, that you're not worried about this situation. He wants to be your deliverer, and He is. But many still don't believe 2 Corinthians 5:19. I know I keep showing this because I'm telling you, I was not shown this, and I never read it in Scripture. Could we see that next slide? 2 Corinthians 5:19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That word world is the same word as God so loved the world. This is everybody. This is humanity. He reconciled us to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. You see, if God was punishing me by not fixing that tire for me because I didn't have sense enough to check and make sure it was flat before I left the house, or all kind of crazy mess that the devil will throw in your minds. You see, if you believe that God's still punishing you for your sins when you blow it and make a mistake, then you see you certainly don't believe God's interested in helping you out of the mess. You see? So it's got to start here first. That God's not counting your trespasses against you. So quit letting the devil, quit letting the words of your parents or a preacher or somebody from your past say that, this God's taking you to the woodshed through this situation. I wonder what I did wrong because this bad happened to me. How many of you have ever asked that question to yourself? If you've been in church, I know you have. Our thoughts is, I got myself in this mess, I got to get myself out. That's the wrong perspective. Question, when do you need grace the most? I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I really felt impressed to say it again. When do you need grace the most? When you've got it pretty much together, you're not messing up big time and making mistakes and sinning, and when you blow it and you're in sin, you've done something, got yourself in debt, or you did too much, some things maybe you shouldn't have done. When do you need grace the most? When you blow it. This is why Hebrews 4:16 was written. Look at this. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. What's grace? Receiving when we don't deserve it. So that we may receive mercy. What's mercy? Not receiving what we do deserve. Thank God. And find grace to help in time of need. This was written to a person that can't get it together. That's all of you. Say, preacher, oh my goodness. Hey, I know you because I are you, as the old preacher said one time. Elisha did exactly that. He didn't scold him first. He gifted him with mercy and grace. And look at this. God defied gravity with grace. You need to claim that this week. Over that situation that's got you down. Common sense says, there's no way. Gravity says, there's no way. With God, all things are possible. What made it possible, by the way? What did Elisha do before the miracle? He threw a stick in the water. And I asked the Lord, I said, I kind of had a thought already. I don't know if I'd read it somewhere. It might have been from Joseph Prince, whom I'm going to quote in a moment. But I thought, what's this stick got to do with anything? And Elisha, he dealt with the problem because the stick represents the tree. The tree represents the cross. Elisha dealt with the problem by throwing a stick at the problem. What's my point? Throw the cross at the problem. Now, one of the discussion questions is, if you hang around down here with Ava and them, if they stay down here, is how do you do that? Well, if you listen in class, students, you're going to be able to answer this question. Okay, here you go. Friends, The cross canceled out the sin debt. No question. But I want to submit to you that we've been taught that, yeah, the cross, well, we kind of hadn't been taught that, because we'll say the cross canceled out our debt, but then we sin and blow it, we'll say, I used to preach this, there's a big wall of separation between me and God until I confess that sin and break down that wall, get back right with God. So we really weren't even teaching that the cross canceled our debt. But He did. And we're now beginning to believe that here at this church, I think. But the cross has done so much more. So much more. So much more. Let me share a couple of verses with you. One from the Old Testament, Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. I used to think that was just about a spiritual healing. I believe it goes way beyond that, because the Bible teaches that we're whole. The word sozo is used, that we're whole and healthy. Does God, when I claim something to be well in my life, does it always heal? Does the axe head float immediately? No. Nope. But I keep claiming it. It's kind of like taking a dose of medicine. I say, God, my back is healthy and whole. I'm being rejuvenated. I'm believing You for healing. Sometimes God does it through a doctor and a pill. It's okay. I'm not telling you how He's going to do it. I'm just telling you He wants to do it. Some have said, they've given up. They said, well, I just don't believe God wants to heal me on this side of heaven. And if that's where you're at on some that question, I'm okay with that. I'm just not okay with it with me. I have believed God wants us to be healthy and whole, regardless of how He does it. If He doesn't do it and I die of something because I didn't get healed, I'm totally healed then. I get it. I get it. But I'm just going to believe Him for good right now, okay? And that's okay. You believe what you want to. 2 Corinthians, talking about my situation. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like Paul is saying, now you know how good God is, but do we? Evidently we don't, because Peter said, for He died, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Grace is a person. Jesus is a person, and we think we've got this grace down pat. But you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Once again, I've heard that spiritualized. Folks, I believe He wants our bills to be paid. I believe He wants us to get out of debt, and I'm beginning to believe Him for that. Listen to what Joseph Prince said in a devotion. Beloved, the stick that Elisha threw into the water speaks of the cross. So because of the cross of Jesus today, you can have your debt supernaturally canceled. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. He wouldn't do that for me. Well, that old seminary boy probably in his flesh said, there ain't no way that axe head's going to float. Do we even ask God for it? That's what I think what God's trying to teach us in this series. It's just like me. In my normal spiritual walk with the Lord before grace started radically changing me all over the place, I wouldn't have even sat there and asked God to blow that tire up. You see my point? Ask Him. Well, preacher, He might say no. Well, so what? Are you any worse off? Sorry. My sarcasm is not good today. He said, as you bring your situation before the Lord, see the provision He made for you at the cross. God will give you the wisdom. I'm going to dispute that comment. God will give you the wisdom and the means to clear every debt. Here, let me take it to another level. He has given you the wisdom. Say, preacher, where you get that at? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at this. But of Him you are in Christ. Notice it says of Jesus we're in Christ. Not because we said a prayer one day. Not because we did all this stuff and we confessed just right and all that kind of stuff. It's all of God. We're in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. You need to quit praying for wisdom. You need to pray that the wisdom you have will be activated and you lean upon it. You have Christ's wisdom. and righteousness. You have Christ's righteousness. I used to pray and confess in my sins trying to get back righteous because I thought I was unrighteous when I sinned and blew it until I confessed it again. Oh my goodness, what a roller coaster of a life I had. And sanctification, that means to be made holy. You're holy and righteous. Say, preacher, you don't know what I did yesterday. No, but God did, and He saw it on the cross. He's already buried it, and He's already nailed it to the cross. He's already forgiven it, and He said He's not counting it against you. That's how you can be holy. You're holy in Christ and righteous in Christ, not because of the good behavior that you do or the sins you abstain from. It's a gift. That's a good place for amen. All right. Boy, that changed my life. It's still changing my life because I still look at my life. And redemption. I could go on and on, but I better hurry. Folks, the stick Elisha threw in the water was Jesus. Jesus is the tree that brings life to your situation. Wow, what a good word. Jesus is the tree that brings life to your lifeless situation, let's say. Remember, He referred to Himself as the vine. I am the, in John 15:1, I am the vine, you are the branches, you that abide in Me and I in Him will bear much fruit, for apart from Me you can do nothing. You see, everything flows from Jesus' life. If He's the vine or the main trunk of the vine or the tree, the sap flows through to the branches. We're the branches, you see. In Proverbs 3, when you read Proverbs 3, you'll notice that it's about the wisdom of God. It's about the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's Jesus. By the way, if you don't know the answer, just say Jesus. Because that's usually right. Okay. Proverbs 3, it's all about the wisdom of God and the Word of God. And as I've stated in 1 Corinthians 1:30, we have His wisdom and righteousness. We know from other scriptures we have the mind of Christ. So what made all of this possible? The cross made it possible, you see, and the resurrection. But back to Proverbs 3, the reason I'm giving you the context, it's about the wisdom of God and the Word of God. Then in verse 18 of Proverbs 3, look at this. It says, she is a tree. She is, like I say, the topic, the context is wisdom, the Word of God. It's really pointing to Jesus. Jesus is a tree of life to those who will take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Folks, nowhere in Scripture do I see a promise that you will not walk in difficult times. If anything is true, it's right the opposite. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome that. My situation. I've been throwing the stick at this situation, okay? I really felt impressed to build this big old building and buy this expensive property. I really had a lot of situations. I put a fleece out in a situation where this customer... I said, God, we don't even have enough for the down payment. And then this customer, I'm pricing a pool, she off the cuff says, well, what kind of discount will you give me if you just pay for the whole pool? If I pay for the whole $50,000 pool up front. I said, I don't know, let me see. So I gave her a discount, not a huge one. She said, good, done. Cash, $50,000. That was right in the middle of me praying about whether to do this building or not, because I knew this building could sink me, okay? So and once again, another thing happened. We finally had the down payment for it. So I don't have any doubt that God led me to build the building. However, in the midst of us, we were supposed to have it completed by April or last part of April before we got so terribly busy in the pool business where we make enough money through the summer to carry us all winter. Well, anyway, it didn't happen. The weather was horrible. And we didn't get in there till when did we move in, Adam? Right before the 4th, June, end of middle of June. And so anyway, it took a lot of our manpower to get things done that we could have been making money on projects and that kind of thing. It took more in the moving process, the demo pole, than I figured it would. We're normally growing the bank account right now to prepare for winter. By the way, the savings is a biblical term. The Bible says, check out the ant. What does the ant do? He stores up, right? The squirrel's got sense enough to do that. He stores up them nuts, right? That's probably why some of them aren't here today. They've been... Y'all gonna tell them it didn't come. He called y'all nuts today. I'm in a rare mood today, can you tell? But we're usually growing the bank account now and getting ready for winter, and it's just not happening. We're struggling even paying some of the bills on some things, and so I've got a lot of pressure on me. I've got at least, I don't know, we got 13 employees, I think I heard last count. That's 13 families, you know, that's riding on me as well, not only my own family, but theirs. But we're needing some miracles. And so guess what? I've been preaching about miracles. I've been believing God for some miracles here lately. And I've been thanking Him that this supply is there. And it's coming. If I don't see it, I'm still thanking Him. Why would I thank God for something that I don't see yet? That's what you call faith. When you believe in something you can't see, it's faith. So I've been throwing a lot of sticks. I didn't know what I was doing, but now in my prayer, I'm going to be throwing, and I'm going to give you something in a moment to remind you to throw the cross. Say, preacher, that sounds sacrilegious or something. Throw the cross. Not if you know what I mean, okay? Elisha threw the cross at the problem. So I'm going to start throwing the cross even more. And I've been claiming 2 Corinthians 8:9 that I've been made rich. That means that He wants us to pay the bills and to be prosperous. I've been claiming 4:19, Philippians 4:19. Look at this on the screen with me. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. You see, His bank account never runs dry. His supply to us is according to His riches. How rich is God? You figure that out and we'll talk about it. Just 2 weeks ago, I sold an $80,000 pool. This past week, just middle of the week, first of the week, I sold a $96,000 pool, 20% down. Bethany or somebody at the store sold an $11,000 outdoor kitchen that was on an early buy that we needed to pay for, but now we've got it, the money to pay for it, and we make a profit. Are we out of the woods yet? No. Actually, that's not right. We are out of the woods because, you see, the Bible says that we're already seated with Him in heaven. We already are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Do I see it in my bank account physically? No. But from my Father's perspective, it is finished. I need some reminders, Adam. The skid steer got fixed. Yep, there you go. I want you to say this with me. Maybe some of you are dealing with something right now, and I want this to be a blessing to you. This is helping me. This is probably more for Carlton. Y'all could just stay at home, and I could just preach it, and I'd have got it. Say it with me. And my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I like to personalize Scripture, and my God will supply all of my needs. And turn right around now and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Even though I don't see it, I don't know how we're going to get through the winter. I don't know how we're going to get this done and that done. But God, You want me trusting You one step at a time. Look at the next slide. You can believe what God said and take it, just as this Elisha student had a choice. He could have said, I don't believe that iron head can float. In other words, as he threw the stick in there, the student might not even been looking, and all of a sudden it floated, and Elisha said, take it. And he could have said, are you kidding? I got to dive down and get it at least and try to find it. No, he said, just take it. I want you to reach out by faith and take what it is you need today. Say, preacher, what if it ain't there tomorrow or the bank account hadn't changed? Hey, trust God to do it in His way, in His time. And just like that tire, I may go back. Oh, I hope He does this. I may go back and it's inflated when I get there. Am I going to go back without an air tank? Nope. I'm just telling you, I hope He does something like that so I can come back. But if He doesn't, my faith has not wavered one bit. If He doesn't do it in a supernatural way like I think He ought to, where I can come back, where I can come back and brag to y'all that He did. He probably won't now for sure. But what am I trying to say? He's got your best interest at heart. Trust Him one step at a time, one day at a time, moment by moment, just like Ricky shared with us last week. As a reminder, I want to give you something. And I've got three different sizes of crosses, and that wasn't for a sermon illustration. It was cause that Hobby Lobby didn't have enough in all one size. I love talking to that little girl because we come up with great ideas we can share with you. There's three different size crosses here. And I thought about, and I may not have enough for everybody. I know I got one per family. But I thought, and some of you got a big problem. Way more than a flat tire on the side of the road, whatever it is, serious stuff. You know, you might want the big cross. And then some of you might have a medium-sized problem in your brain. And some of you might have a flat tire. Now, the cross is still the cross, no matter what size. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got a monster problem. I mean, only God Himself can turn it around. You see no possible way. That's what you call a big problem. The cross rises to the occasion, no matter how big the problem. You see, Satan thought he had won. I'm sure the demons were rejoicing. The Son of God was dead. But my Father and your Father reached down and He lifted His boy up from the grave. If He can do that, if He takes care of the lilies of the field, if He takes care of the birds of the air, how much more does He want to take care of you? He does. Believe Him. Ask Him for it. Then trust Him to do it in His way, in His timing. Amen. Father, You're so good. You're just so good to us. And Lord, You're helping my faith to believe You for bigger things. Just like that flat tire. I normally wouldn't even thought to ask You to blow it up for me. That tells me a whole lot that we think You're not interested, maybe even in the little things. But no matter what's going on in our life, the cross rises to the occasion. And I'm so thankful for You. So thankful for what You've done for us. How much You love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let this cross be a reminder today, this week, coming week, to say, I'm going to throw it at the problem. In other words, you're trusting Christ's supply for that situation.
It just reminds me of what happened 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I put it on Facebook, so a lot of people read the story, but a lot of y'all I'm not friends with on Facebook, but it's so relative to this. I went tubing down the river in North Georgia with my son, his wife, and Scarlett. And never done that before. So anyway, we're tubing down, and my son decided he wanted to have his phone with him in case anything happened along the way and we needed help. So he puts his cell phone in a plastic bag and he puts it in his lap. We're tubing. And of course, I get myself in trouble going down the river and ended up being flipped over it by a branch on the side because the current was still taking me in anyway. So he immediately jumps up and he's helping me and getting me rescued. And then he says, my phone. So it was gone. It was in the plastic bag, but it was gone. Well, I felt terrible because that was my fault. But so we start searching the river for this bag with this phone in it. And the current is just going, of course, and we're going through, we're just combing the whole area and trying to hold on. I'm trying not to get swept away again. And he's down there on the bottom of the river and putting his hands all in everything, and I wasn't excited about that either, but I'm doing that. And we probably searched that area for like 30 minutes. And the whole time, I feel so bad about it. And I'm like, I'm just praying. I'm like, God, help us find the phone. Just help us find the phone, Lord. Please, Lord, help us find the phone. So after 30 minutes, we didn't find the phone. So we're resolved about that. And yet I'm saying, you know, gee whiz, God, that would have been neat. That would have been a real neat, miraculous thing in all of this. So I'm a little bummed. And so his wife and Scarlett had been ahead of us because they were in kayaks. So we didn't see them for a long time. So we knew they'd been finished. They were waiting on us down there. And so he's saying, you know, don't say anything to Ashley about my phone, you know. He said, she's going to be mad because she told me not to take it. And so I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to say anything. So soon we're still floating on down the river, and we see Ashley and Scarlett standing down there waiting on us, and they're standing in the river on the side. So we're like, you know, hey. And they wave, and then Ashley holds up this plastic bag. And I'm looking, I couldn't figure out what the heck she's got, and Andy says, Ashley's got my phone. I was dumbfounded. Dumbfounded that, how did that happen? I mean, because this is how far down the river. So, we get up there, and she tells us that she and Scarlett were standing in the river waiting and looking for us, and they're talking. And then Ashley looks down, and she sees this plastic bag right by Scarlett. And she says, Scarlett, pick that bag up. So Scarlett picked it up. She said, that's Andy's phone. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, here I am. Disappointed that God didn't answer that prayer way back here of, you know, let me just find this phone right here or down there under a rock or something. That would have been pretty miraculous. But to think that it floated how far downriver, of all things, right to Scarlett's hand, that was even
more miraculous.
Bigger, yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, I didn't get what I wanted right then, and I'm disappointed with God. Even though it's trivial, it's just a phone. Nobody died or anything. I wasn't, you know, very trivial. But yet it was just a huge lesson to me.
Amen. Wow.